Two passages of Scripture I would like to bring our attention to. One is from the 115th Psalm, and the other is from the first chapter of Hebrews. Psalm 115, beginning with verse 1. Not unto us, O Lord, not unto us, but unto your name give glory, because of your mercy, because of your truth. Why should the Gentiles say, so where is their God? But our God is in the heaven. He does whatever he pleases. Their idols are silver and gold, work of men's hands. They have mouths, but they do not speak. Eyes they have, but they do not see. They have ears, but they do not hear. Noses they have, but they do not smell. They have hands, but they do not handle. Feet they have, but they do not walk, nor do they mutter through their throat. Those who make them are like them. So is everyone who trusts in them. Hebrews chapter 1. God, who at various times and in various manners, ways, spoke in time past to the fathers by the prophets, has in these last days spoken unto us by his Son, whom he has appointed heir of all things, through whom also he made the worlds. Who being the brightness of his glory and the express image of his person and upholding all things by the word of his power, when he had by himself purged our sins, sat down at the right hand of the majesty on high. The speaking God. Our God is heard, not seen as idols. Nor is he passive and impotent as such gods fashioned by men's imaginations. He is real and active. He is not of man's inventions or ingenuity. Of all the gods that man has created, none are like the God of the Bible, the God of eternity and the God of history. Man would never make a God like the one who has revealed himself to us. Ours is a speaking God. In speaking, he addresses our intelligence, not animal feelings, passions, and emotions. Passions and emotions may arise, but they arise out of the information and the revelation and the light that sparked the life in the man. He does not move us through sensational sights or videos, unintelligible sounds, beats, thumps, mystical sensations as employed by contemporary so-called worship leaders and special music. In the Bible, God raised up chief singers who by their superior voices led the congregation in singing, and that's pretty well what we do here. We don't have a song leader. If you have a good voice and you can sing, belt it out. We will sing with you. Your leaders are scattered all around in the congregation. Nobody's waving their hands around, controlling everything. But the Spirit of the God, through the gifted people to sing, are the song leaders. The God of the Bible never leaves people to their dreams, their imaginations, foolish and vain emotions. They're not left vulnerable to vain ideas and doctrines and sensations of demons. Our God speaks. He comes to us with intelligent words. The incarnate God is called the Word, one of Jesus' names. They didn't call him fascinating sounds, but the Word. He informs us. He banishes our darkness and ignorance with the light. He reproves us for past and present errors and disobedience. Corrects and encourages us in the right way. He governs, He directs, and He guides in the way He prescribes. He spake. The God who now speaks to us is the same God who has always spoken, even when there was none to hear but He who spake. Who do you think God calls to hear when He said, "Let us create man"? In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. So the God who now speaks is the God who has always spoken, and there was none to hear but He who spake. And He spake in eternity in the words of the prophet, of the poet Faber, amid the eternal silences, God's endless word was spoken. None heard but He who always spake, and the silence was yet unbroken. He spoke creation into existence by the word of His power, matter out of nothing. He spake in history to our fathers, those who preceded us in the knowledge of Him and who left us a record of His word. He spoke to those fathers by the prophets. Which prophets? To whom He spoke in an audible voice, or in dreams and visions, or on rare occasions, theophanies. A theophany is a divine appearance in a man-like form. He also spoke in parables, narratives, figures, symbols and types, rituals and ceremonies, sacrifices and feasts, baptisms and communions. He speaks to God. God speaks to us in those ceremonies. He spoke in poetry, in the Psalms, prose in the historical book. And in proclamation, He spoke His law and announcements and prophecy. He spoke mysteries. Psalm 78, the 78th Psalm, verse 1. Give ear, O my people, to the law, to my law. Incline your ears to the words of my mouth. I will open my mouth in a parable. I will utter dark sayings of old, which we have heard and known, and our fathers have told us. We will not hide it from them from their children, telling the generation to come the praises of the Lord and the strength of His wonderful works that He has done. For He established a testimony in Jacob and appointed a law in Israel which commanded our fathers that they should make them known to their children, that the generation to come might know them, the children who would be born, that they might rise up and declare them unto their children, that they may set their hope in God and not forget the works of their God, but keep His commandments, and may not be like their fathers, a stubborn and rebellious generation, a generation that did not set its heart aright, and whose spirit was not faithful to God. In all of those ways, our God spoke through the prophets. The prophets were divinely inspired, living oracles of God. 2 Peter 1:21. Like all prophets, they did not get too much of a hearing, as we see in Acts 7, chapter 7, verse 51. Stephen says, "You stiff-necked and uncircumcised in heart and ears, you always resist the Holy Spirit. As your fathers did, so do you." Which prophets did your fathers not persecute, and to kill those who foretold the coming of the Just One, of whom you are now have become the betrayers and murderers, who have received the law by the direction of angels and have not kept it? Their dispensation is now past. The prophet Malachi was followed by 400 years of God's public silence. Can you imagine that? 400 years. How many generations have passed since that? Nobody had heard from God. Your daddy hadn't heard from God. His daddy hadn't heard from God. His daddy hadn't heard from God. 400 years. God went silent and never spoke. Can you imagine the darkness that covered the earth at that time? And we're not speaking fairy tales or imaginations here. This is history. But in the 15th year of Tiberius, silence was broken by John the Baptist. The last old covenant prophet came out of the wilderness thundering the word of God, preaching repentance toward God. And people thronged out of the cities to hear him and were baptized confessing their sins. On the Mount of Transfiguration, God spoke to Peter, James, and John, saying of Jesus, "This is my beloved Son, in whom I am well pleased. Hear him." The speaking God who spoke to our fathers by the prophets has spoken to us. He has spoken to us powerfully this morning, last night, these days. He's speaking to us now. Isn't that wonderful? God speaking to us. He is aware of us. He knows us personally. He's acquainted with you. He knows our names. He knows where we live. He knows what we do. He knows what we think. Have you ever been thinking the thought and suddenly got embarrassed about the thought you were thinking and looked around to see if anybody heard you thinking that? He knows how we feel. He knows what we got angry about. He knows our pettiness, our foolishness. He knows what we hate, and he knows what we love. He knows our hearts better than we know them, and he is ready to be our God if we are ready to be his child. Please consider the enormity and the wonder of this fact. Of all the infinite expanse of the universe, and of all that it may compose, of all of God's creation, he has singled us out personally. Picked out you. Aren't you something? Isn't he something? He's singled us out personally, individual mortal person, and spoken to us. God speaking to me? Yeah. Won't you talk to your children? Wonderful. Now consider how much more excellent is the Word of God to us in the person of God's Son, Jesus Christ, than the Word of God to our fathers by the prophets. To the fathers by the prophets, here is the people who have no inward light in their souls. They know that God exists, but do not know him, have never seen him, or heard him. The Bible tells us Abraham said God appeared to Abraham. And the question might be asked, how did he know that was God? Because it was. He doesn't need an introduction. If you ever meet him, you'll know you've met God. You've met the Lord. So here comes a man to whom God has spoken, who has a stamp of the Almighty upon him, and he is a divinely inspired living oracle of God. He can and does tell men God's will, God's purpose, and God's commandments. God's covenant promise failed. Well, that was wonderful for that time. But their dispensation is now past, and we must no longer look in that direction for the Word of God any longer, because God has announced unto us by His Son. He is not just a mortal man, but the incarnate God Himself. He has come to us speaking. He can tell us what God is like, because He Himself is the brightness of God's glory. He Himself is the expressed image of His person, God's person. And I'm not talking about what you might saw some pagan painter as called a picture of Jesus. That's not what He's like. In His person, He reveals God's compassion, God's condescension. Little children come to Him. Don't drive them away. He condescends. God's wisdom. The rich young ruler says, I got to go first bury my father. Now, his daddy wasn't sick yet. What he was simply doing, he said, I don't want to become a Christian until I bury my father. I don't want to disappoint him, so I got to wait till the old man dies and then I'll come back and be a Christian. You're not putting anything over him. God's perfect righteousness, Jesus, the Word. I find no fault in Him, Pilate said. God's absolute sovereignty. He effectually chooses. He chooses His disciples. And when and how He leads, whom He raises up and to whom He gives eternal life. His omnipotence over the elements, the wind and the seas, over our diseases, the devil, and demons, and sin, and death. He also tells us what man is, and for what he was, and is himself perfect man, perfect in humility, and gentleness, and meekness, perfect in subjection, and in obedience in his life, perfect in giving his life upon the cross. God has spoken. The tense is present. God has spoken. He is now speaking, and He is now complete in His speaking. In these, the last days, the revelation of His Word to man is complete. That is, does not mean that He is not with each of us in the person of His Spirit, guiding, helping, comforting, teaching. He is the Good Shepherd. Ever feeding and caring for His sheep. Nor does it mean that there will be no more divinely inspired and ordered utterances from His people. On the contrary, the last days are marked by such utterances from among all of God's elect people. We see that in Acts 2:17. And it shall come to pass in the last days, says God, I will pour out my Spirit upon all flesh, and your sons and your daughters shall prophesy. Daughters as well as sons. I know that makes folks nervous about women preachers, but that's in the book here. Your young men shall see visions, and your old men shall dream dreams, and on my men servants and my maid servants I will pour out my Spirit in those days, and they shall prophesy. And I will show wonders in heaven above and signs in the earth beneath. Blood of fire and vapor of smoke, the sun shall be turned into darkness, the moon into blood before the coming of that great and awesome day of the Lord. And it shall come to pass that whoever calls upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. It means that these are the last days of His speaking. That He will not go silent again, but there will be no more days and no more time periods after these days. This is the last one. Everything we need to know and walk in the way of life has been given to us in Jesus Christ. These, the last days, are also our days. Our eternal destinies will be determined by how we hear God, the speaking God, through His Son in these days. History is drawing to a close in these days. Hebrews chapter 12. And verse 18. For you have not come to the mountain that may be touched and that burned with fire, and to the blackness and darkness and tempest, and the sound of a trumpet, and the voice of words. Pardon me. That those who heard it begged that the word should not be spoken to them any more, for they could not endure what was commanded. And if so much as a beast touched the mountain, it shall be stoned or shot with an arrow. And so terrifying was the sight that Moses said, I am exceedingly afraid and trembling. But you have come to Mount Zion, to the city of the living God, the heavenly Jerusalem, to an innumerable company of angels, to the general assembly and church of the firstborn who are registered in heaven, to God, the judge of all, to the spirits of just men made perfect. You've come to Jesus, the mediator of the new covenant, and to the blood of sprinkling that speaks better things than that of Abel. See that you do not refuse him who speaks. For if they did not escape who refused him who spoke on earth, how much more shall we not escape if we turn away from him who speaks from heaven, whose voice then shook the earth? But now he has promised, saying, yet once more I shake not only the earth, but also heaven. Now this, yet once more, indicates the removal of those things that are being shaken, as the things that are made, and that the things which cannot be shaken may remain. Therefore, since we have received a kingdom which cannot be shaken, let us have grace by which we may serve God acceptably with reverence and godly fear, for our God is a consuming fire. Human history is drawing to a close in these days. Jesus Christ has earned the right to be heard. He by himself has purged our sins, and he upholds all things by the word of his power. He sits enthroned, waiting for every knee to bow. He will not be disappointed. See that you do not refuse him who speaks. Let's pray. Father in heaven, we are thankful that you gave us ears to hear and awakened us out of our dumb, stupid, insane determination to go to hell by ignoring you and having our own way. Thank you for gathering us together in this place this morning. We believe that you have spoken to us already these days. You mightily spoke to us through the last hour. You are speaking and communing with us right now. Cause each of us that are here now at this hour, at this time, to hear your voice and determine not to leave this place until they've met you and bowed to you. For it's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen.